You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flack from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi, everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 2, Episode 18 of Cawley's Call, and it's good to have you all. Why I'm probably stuttering on the intro.
Hi, everyone. I'm bollocks.
Yeah, I thought I might get through this, and we're only 20 seconds in, and I'm struggling.
You have a great colour.
I'm struggling, Stu. I have a great colour because I was on my holidays. I'm still on my holidays.
You're on your holidays. Give us a lowdown, because, like, actually...
Do you want a lowdown?
I'll feel like I was on holidays if you tell me what happened on your holidays.
Okay. And
please tell me you got drunk many times.
Drunk? Wow. 2 days on the drink. And I'm not a big drinker, as you know, but we've had... I haven't had a holiday in, like everyone else, 2 years. So we did a staycation. Isn't that what they're calling nowadays?
A staycation?
I've never done a staycation in my life, but we went down to visit Anthony Daly, the hurler, the legendary hurler from Clare. Good friend of ours. So myself and Hugh Call and two of my mates from Sligo, and we had this plan for a long time, to be fair, and obviously with the restrictions and all the other different things, never materialised. But with restrictions lifted now, we said we're going down, and we planned it around the Euros final. So England, Italy, he has a little pub out in Kilmahill, I think is the name of the little village.
It's Anthony Daly's pub, is it?
Yeah, Murphy right. Brown's. What a pub.
Where do you get the money for that?
Them hurlers,
tell you,
they let on like it's fucking
amateur me arse.
They're all loaded. No, but he invited us down, so we went down Sunday afternoon. He has the whole outdoor done because obviously with the restrictions for the pubs as well, so it's all outdoor.
Lovely.
And lovely evening as well. The weather helped. Don't ask me about the match.
you thought you were in Trafalgar Square, didn't you? You were fucking glass bottles everywhere.
It was like Wembley way it was at Murty Brown's on Sunday night. But we had some crack. And honestly, right, Stu, I don't know what you felt watching the game, but we saw a couple of videos of different pubs and places, even where I'm from in Sligo. And when they saved that penalty, the pub erupted.
Yeah. I fucking erupted.
Pub erupted.
I was delighted.
Pub absolutely erupted, right? All the lads. I couldn't believe it. Like, I thought, obviously, people would like Italy to win and not England, but honestly, the place went bananas. I mean bananas now. So that was Sunday night. Recovered. Got up then yesterday and we've seen a bit more of Clare. Kilkee, beautiful spot. Then we headed from Kilkee over to Doombeg. Trump's land. So... you want to see the place we're in last night?
Yeah, I was looking at your Instagram stuff. Yeah,
we're in a place called Tubberdy's, which I didn't know this, but the lad that plays Gaelic for Clare, lovely lad. He was working in the pub as well. His dad was a famous hurler, but he's a footballer and he's just broken the record for the most scores in National League, I think. He was there, lovely lad. So we had a bit of crack with him. And Doombeg then today, yeah, Trump's place. You want to see it? It's amazing.
How'd you get on the 18? I saw you put on something on Instagram.
Beach,
you're on the 18T.
On the 18T and walked.
We're not shot with a sniper or something from the castle, you know.
I thought Trump was going to jump out from a bunker.
Under instructions of Trump, yeah.
You want to see this place, honestly. So I didn't have a sandwich and a bit of lunch then, and I walked a good bit of the course, and there's a beautiful beach, Doombeg Beach. And whatever about him, like we all know he's a maniac, but in terms of this actual place, honestly, Stu, and if you were just guaranteed the weather in Ireland, as I say, it was my first ever staycation. If we could be guaranteed the weather and the places like this, you want to see this place, honestly.
Your whole Instagram post is a staycation. Like, you don't need to go on holidays. You just have to just look at your Instagram.
You're always
stuff.
Giving me stick.
There's always
this.
Beaches or harbours. Well, or you're like Michael Palin.
That's the life I live nowadays. You know,
you're like Michael Palin.
Lockdown has taught me to get out and see nature and see places and all that kind of stuff.
I'm jealous. I am.
That's what I enjoy. But I actually genuinely am on holidays this time. Normally they're going up when I'm not. But so it was absolutely brilliant. So people, bear with me for the next 40 minutes. I'm not my usual. Tip-top self, I'm in recovery mode after 2 days.
The people want to hear that we're human, that we do go out, even though I never go out.
We're absolutely
you always go.
No, we need a night out. We need a night out. We do. We need to let your hair down, Stu, because you've been working all through this pandemic. Flat out.
I haven't been on holiday in over three years, actually. Believe it or not.
You look well in your new Bonetti top and
I like this gear. By the way, Bonetti, gorgeous gear.
Yeah. Stewie's modelling the latest in Bonetti fashions, and obviously Bonetti are a sponsor as well. We haven't even mentioned football. We were on about staycations.
I'm hoping Bonetti are going to send me loads of more clothes.
Stewie, you have to say it looks great on you.
Yeah, it suits me, yeah.
Looks very well. The collar.
We'll take a picture.
They're nice tops.
They are. They're lovely stuff. Yeah. No, the gear is lovely.
It is lovely, yeah.
Well done, Bonetti.
And Paul as well got some gear and everyone saw. So yeah, the European game, Stu, is where we're going to start. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers, we have to start with the champions, and they played in the Champions League qualifying round one last week. And I watched the match. We flagged it up last week before the match that... Okay, go on.
I have to bring this up, right? The coverage of the game is awful.
Mm.
I can't get any decent stuff on the game. There's no video of the games. You know, I would have thought in this day and age, maybe Shamrock Rovers could have put something up on a little highlights package. I don't know whether there's copyright problems. But I can't get any kind of a decent report in the game at all, except for little snippets of here and there, like, you know. So.
I think the stream itself, because I had problems logging into it. It wasn't the only stream I had problems logging into.
I suppose what I'm trying to highlight now maybe the problem, a problem here, because we've gone down this road of the streaming service and we've had Watch League of Ireland for a couple of years, and then it's been handed off now to a separate service. You know, I don't know whether people were maybe expecting that this would be on the new service, or maybe the Irish guys might have been able to do it. Obviously, it's not. So I suppose what I'm trying to highlight is that, like, there's a gap here now, because the European stuff seems to have been left. You know, we would have hoped maybe that RTE or someone would show one of the games coming up. I don't know whether that's still a possibility. They're certainly not showing the Rovers game, but. You know, there's a gap now. We're not getting to see the European stuff, you know, which we want to see.
Yeah, and the clubs were going through. I had trouble getting into the Sligo Rovers stream, but people did get into it. But then I got into the Bows and Stjarnan one. I think people had trouble with the Shamrock Rovers Slovan one as well. And I'm not sure. A couple of the clubs, I think, are doing it themselves, Stu. And I just don't know how it fully operates. We might even get someone on to discuss this, because it's interesting enough in the sense that what the clubs are having to do now with the coverage. But as I say, I watched the match. And we did flag it up last week that, look, it's the Champions League. You mentioned that the days of getting hopeful draws are long. You're going to come up against good opposition.
You're coming up against quality.
But this is quality. And they were well-beaten, Shamrock Rovers, I have to say. As much as you want to try and... there's no way of dressing up. I don't want to dress it up. I've never dressed it up in my life. I'm not going to start now. But what I mean is, as much as you're hoping they will do well and get through, they were well-beaten. It was 2-0 in the end. Manna saved the penalty to make it 3 right at the death, which gives them a little bit of hope going into the game tonight. But I felt it was a bridge too far at nil all. At 2-0, you can't really see them coming back into it, can you?
No, I can't, no. I mean, from the small bit of information I got back, you know, you're looking at kind of the stats, and possession stats might put it 52-48 in the favour of Slovan, which might say, you know, maybe Rovers had a little bit more possession than you would have expected, or maybe they had more possession than what the result effectively suggests. But you can see
it was possession where they weren't even hurting.
The quality was really, you know, in terms of, you know, shots on target and the goals that they scored both sides.
Because I watched
both halves,
it,
and you can see that Slovan were the far better team, and they missed the penalty as well.
And it even looked like they were playing in third gear, fourth gear, that if they needed to go up the gears, they were comfortable. Let's just put it that way. They were comfortable, I felt, Slovan. Shamrock Rovers never really troubled him. He went with the same team, obviously, that beat Dundalk as well. Made a couple of changes then the second. Now, to be fair, the one thing I will say, it was absolutely roasting. It looked, yeah. I think it was 32 degrees or something, which obviously was a factor in the game as well. Manus, as I say, he saved the penalty, but I felt he was at fault for the first goal as well. It bounced in front of him. People were suggesting the shadow from the sun, maybe, but I'm not having that. Like, he's a top quality goalkeeper.
I'm thinking back to the goal against Sligo as well in the away game. He made a bit of a clang.
He has, and I've loved Manus. I'm a big fan, but he has made a couple of howlers. Unlike him this year, to be fair, but that one I just felt he probably should have done better. And even the second goal as well, it was just after half time. It was so sloppy from a defensive point of view. It was one of them goals. And I know every goal you can look back and think we could have done better. But there's particular goals where you look and go, oh, that was pretty poor defending. And there was three or four of them around the ball at one stage on the end line. and the lads still managed to get it back, pulled it back, and it was a sloppy one for them to concede. And you're thinking at 2-0 then, like you've no chance giving away two goals like that, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously, if you can get the away goal, it's a big thing if you can even sneak.
But they're not doing the away goal thing now, and that rule is gone now in terms of...
But that's because it's a new competition. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Apologies. I actually thought that wasn't coming until next year, but obviously the new competition has started. So, I mean, look, even the trying to even get a goal, I believe Gannon had the best opportunity in the game. But I mean, look, Al, we did speak about these were difficult opposition. You know, I think they did one over in Dundalk as well, didn't they? In Tala, yeah. A couple of years ago, a very good Dundalk side. So.
They've won the last three leagues over there in Slovakia. Yeah. Obviously, we saw Slovakia qualify for the Euros, so they're no mugs by any means. Very good, decent team technically. And I say they've won the last three league titles. They've won four out of the last five cups, Slovak cups. And there's been a league and cup double in the last two seasons as well. They've won two doubles. So we did flag it up last week. We always said it was going to be tough. And I'm just wondering, Stu, because we're going to come to the Europa League games. And obviously, in terms of the new competition with the Conference League and the teams playing against each other all relatively at a similar level, which gives our teams a much better chance. I'm just wondering now, and no disrespect to Shamrock Rovers, they were the champions last year, that the Shamrock Rovers team of last year would have given Slovan Bratislava.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
I don't think this Shamrock Rovers team is anywhere near that.
Yeah, well, it would certainly seem that that's the way their season is transpiring. When you look at their early season form, they certainly looked like they got off to kind of a steady start. Mm. And you know, you would have hoped, especially with the quality they have and the players that they were flagged to bring in. Ultimately, they've come in since Richie Tell being that player, and maybe one or two others. You certainly felt that they had they were setting up to kind of improve as the season has gone on. I don't know whether they really improved. They might have gotten a little bit better, but there's nothing like what we would have expected. And part of that is to do maybe with what they have up front, which I think they're struggling to get goals.
That's the area, Green and Gaffney.
Green and Gaffney just hasn't happened. I know we've probably chopped and changed in Green and Gaffney, and probably Aaron Green might feel a little bit hard done by, because he certainly, for me last year, I thought he was the catalyst for all their good play. Like, you know, very much an unsung hero last year when you consider the quality. I know they had McInniff and Jack Bourne and others that were getting the goals, but he was always the catalyst. He was always the link between those goals and those players. And he's been you know, he's kind of chopped and changed between Gaffney and Green this season.
Gaffney has struggled.
And he was struggling to get goals. I think when you play Aaron Green, you're playing him to play as a link player, right? Because he drops in, but he can get you goals, yeah. But when you play Gaffney, I think you're more looking to him to get you goals.
He doesn't offer much else in terms of the build-up play as much as
Aaron does, you know. So there's a confusion there.
And like, even Aaron's, you know, work rate—that was a big thing as well.
Yeah,
with the
never
master.
Stops.
Never stops. But I've always been critical of him in terms of the goals, because ultimately, no matter what you're doing off the ball, and for all the good work that he does do, and I always say this, if you're the number nine for Shamrock Rovers, you're judged on goals. And if you're in a team that's on the verge of potentially winning the league and dominating games the way they do in a large spell, and they're creating chances, like the likes of a Jason Byrne or a Crow or a Twig, they'd be getting 20 goals with that team. Like,
yeah, and but this is the problem globally. You can't get centre forwards anymore. Mm. And I remember having a talk to Pat Fenlon about this 6-7 years ago. Mm. Even when he was at Hibs, you know, you can't get centre forwards anymore. They're just, if they're out there, they're snapped up, you know, and they're at the big clubs. But it's a position, a role that's just gone out of the game. And you know, it's the coaching system has changed now. Players are very much coached now to be part of an 11, you know, work rate, defensive duties as well as offensive duties. And you're just not going to get away with having one player that just
be the number
potters
nine
around, yeah, and just, yeah, you know, waste, just hangs around the box, and just, yeah, like Ian Rush, whatever, Stephen Gagan. Oh, I mean, harsh on Stephen Gagan's all around game was incredible. But yeah, that kind of out and out goal scorer.
The only one
goals
I can think of really in the league, and as you see, he still does a lot of that other stuff, but as in terms of a proper number nine / centre forward type, is Georgie, and he's the one's getting the goals. And McMillan has been that, and obviously David is still there, and we'll come to him in the Dundalk stuff. But
it can be a psychology as well. Like, players can get a little bit caught up in maybe being asked to do certain things off the ball, and you know, offer yourself as an 11th defender, or get yourself pinned on the, you know, I'm talking about centre forward here, get yourself pinned on the deepest midfielder, you know, make it hard for him to get on the ball, like, you know. And if you fill that player with too much of that information, he'll almost forget, like, your goal scorer as well. Like, you know, by the way, when we get the ball back, kick yourself into the box, you know, make those runs, you know, don't be afraid to go for goal. And I think what we've seen with Georgie, for example, is his early season form, right, very much trying to integrate himself into this Bohemians team, you know, so probably felt that he had to get his work rate right, you know, get involved with the team, work, track back, and do all those stuff that we're talking about. The goals weren't really coming because he was probably fixated on that, but something has switched, something's clicked, and he probably scored a couple of goals out of nothing or whatever the case may be, and then all of a sudden he's saying, I can get goals here. And it can be very much be a habit with anybody, like, you know. So, and all of a sudden he's banging them in left, right and centre. So he's found the medium between, you know, working for the team, but when they get the ball back or whatever the case may be, getting goals and getting themselves into situations to get goals and shooting from, like, I remember Jason Bourne, for example. Jason used to get a load of goals from either just on the edge of the box or even outside of the box, which very much went against what you would have considered an old-fashioned centre forward to be. But it was because he just shot. He just fucking shot from everywhere, and sometimes he'd be ready to wring his neck, like, yeah, you know, and you'd get a deflection and it would go in and you'd be like, but, like, you go, do you know what? If you don't try, yeah, you don't score. Very much like, I mean, if you want to talk about the Euros and thinking back to the Swedish goal, the Sweden-Ukraine game, can't remember the lad who scored, but Sweden weren't looking like getting anything out of the game. But
yeah, Forsberg.
Forsberg pops up 25 yards out, just decides to have a shot, out of nothing, gets a little deflection, and they're back in the game, like, you know. So it's kind of, you know.
It's funny you bring up Jason, because obviously we played with Jason, and I always think of Jason Crowley and probably Twig in our time of the three best, like, goal scorers, centre forwards, that type of lad that gets you the 20 goal, the way people used to judge the 20 goal man or whatever. Like, if you had either of those three in the teams nowadays, they'd be banging in goals, them lads, wouldn't they?
They would, because in fairness, like, I think
even more so, like,
I thought Glenn Crowe for me got a bad rap with regard his all round defensive duties. He was always perceived as being an out and out goal scorer, right? And the reason why he was always perceived as being an out and out goal scorer was he was one of these guys that he'd toe poke it, hit it with his left knee, hit it with his right nut.
He didn't care how it was going in.
His ear. Like, he had this ability to just use every part of his body, and that's a skill, by the way. A lot of players would need to have it on their right foot, or they need to have it in a certain shape or position to go and score. He could just adjust, and he scored some incredible goals that you think just came out of nothing, right? And he almost got stereotyped because of that, and, you know, the perception was, well, he didn't really do enough the other way. But then when Glenn came to us, Jesus, he could shift, you know, and he could move, and he could defend, he could do all that other stuff. And that was the one thing I was surprised, because I always knew he could do the other stuff. I played with Glenn at schoolboy at Stella Maris, and I always knew he could do that. But
the one thing that always struck me with Crowley was how good he was in the year. Yeah. Unbelievable, and so strong. Like the power, like, this might sound mad, but the power he used to get into his headers.
Yeah.
The way he used to adjust his neck when he was going for a header, or even when he was challenging for, you know, kick-outs, balls up. And he wasn't the tallest in terms of, you might have bigger centre-halves overpowering him in terms of height, but he had an unbelievable leap and strength on him to time a header, and the power he'd get on the header.
Yeah, and he was never afraid to get hurt as well. Like, you know, he'd always challenge with any centre-back, and he took a hell of a... Like, he took a fair few clatters now into the back of the head, or into the back of the head, like, you know. But
is it fair me asking you this? I'm going to put you on the spot. Jason or Crowley?
Oh, God, yeah. If you had it, It's a very difficult question.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is difficult because they were so good. As you said, different attributes for both of them. Ultimately, they always got you the goals, but they did have different attributes. We're going away off on a tangent.
If you don't want to listen to Jason, you'd go, Glenn, Jason was a fucking mountain. he wouldn't shut up, like, you know.
What was it, Eamon Collins, you saw say, hey, you're only happy when you're unhappy, big man.
And that's what made him worse, you know. He'd keep going. And then, he'd be ready to wring his neck or something, and he just bang on the top corner.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable, like, yeah. You know? Okay, so, Stu, the game tonight, obviously, this is going out in the morning, but Shamrock Rovers are playing the second leg tonight. Do you give them a chance?
You'd always give them a chance, Al. Just, you know, if you can nick an early goal, put them under a little bit of pressure. And I say that because in any of the big games we've ever had, we've had to do that. Like, you know, we've never kind of, like, I mean, the Hadjet game, I know we snuck a couple of the away goals, and we brought a 3-2 deficit back, and they were under a bit of pressure, and all we needed to do was kind of get that first goal, which we did. Well, we didn't get it to the late in the game, but I think Rovers have to go for it. They have to put these guys under pressure, because if you sit back against quality like that, they tear you apart, like, you know, and you have to let them know.
But if they have an elite, they'll just manage the game if you sit back, you know. You have to get after them.
You do and you have to take chances. Yeah. And I'd rather see Rovers do that, take chances, and more psychologically say to these guys, you're not going to get your own way tonight, like, you know, we're going to put you under pressure and let's see what you're really made of, you know. So I hope that's how they approach the game. And 2-0, yeah, get the first goal and anything can happen.
Okay, speaking of brilliant centre forwards, we have to give this man a special mention, because the game itself, don't get me wrong, and no disrespect to Dundalk, but to beat Newtown 4-0, they should be beating Newtown 4-0. It was fully expected. And it was a good win for them. Obviously, Vinnie Peart back in charge, as we know, so European game. And more importantly than anything else, the money. $300,000 or something, shoot, to get through the round. So that's unbelievable, no matter who you're playing, what opposition. So to beat them well, to beat them comfortably. Good news that Patching obviously has had a brilliant run of it at Derry, but he's back with Dundalk and scored as well. But we have to give a special mention to a friend of the show. He was in here with us last year. Lovely lad. We're obviously a big fan of his as well. But he broke the record, David McMillan, as being the top League of Ireland scorer in Europe, Stu, overtaking Glenn Crowe with 12 goals, which is a hell of a feat in itself.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, records are there to be broken, and it's very important that that these players, you know, take that on board and they push it through. You know, I know Gary Rogers broke Owen Heary's. Owen and Ollie Cal had joined, I think they had 41 appearances in European football. Gary broke that last year. I was delighted to see that. Delighted to see that, because you just need... When these accolades become important to players, they push to break these things. And when you push to break records, it ultimately adds to, you know, a higher standard, right? So, I mean, I'm delighted every day, I have to say, because, like, I mean, you know, knowing his attitude as a player, I'm sure he would have taken it all in the stride, and I'm sure he's hungry now to go.
Well,
and
to put it into context a little bit as well, I think the game, obviously they're playing tonight as well, the second leg, which this should be comfortable enough to come through. The winners play Levadia Tallinn or St. Joseph's from Gibraltar, so that in itself is a good opportunity.
Well, if you're going to call your football club Newtown, you're fucking asking for a hiding. Like,
really?
Welsh
crowd. Come on, Newtown. No.
Add a bit of spice in there, like Newtown Devils or something, but, like, you call it a team Newtown. What?
Apparently they were awful as well. I heard they were awful. Now, I know it had a few COVID cases, but I heard they were awful.
They need a name change.
But just for David, in terms of context on, I think he's starting tonight. I think it's his 30th appearance. So even that in itself, Stu, 12 goals and 30 appearances in Europe, that's an unbelievable return for him.
Oh, it's incredible. And we're seeing this now. Because we've become so used to not just playing in European football, but progressing in European football, you know, it's important again that you know, that we recognise that 30 appearances in European football and 12 goals is an incredible,
isn't it,
achievement. Because you know, it used to be the case that when you played in Europe, you'd get a home and away game, and if you didn't progress, you were gone. You know, that's basically two appearances. Like, you know, so to get 30, effectively say, is that, you know.
Now, obviously, he was around the group stage. Yeah, they were successful, which is the point you're making. So, yeah, Dundalk should come through that. As I say, they're 4-0 up, but we did want to highlight David. Another thing that probably the biggest story to come out of that as well, Stu, separate to the game as well. Afterwards, The news broke that Patrick McIlhenny is going to go back to Derry, and he signed a pre-contract agreement with Derry City. Now, there was rumours of this. It was likely that he was going to leave.
Well, I heard a whisper a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
I have a very good source. I'm not gonna divulge who that source is, but I don't think he's happy yet.
Okay.
At Dundalk.
No, and obviously the proof is in the pudding, because he's gone and signed a pre-contract agreement with Derry, going back to his hometown club. But Vinnie Peart was very annoyed after the game because of the timing of Derry City releasing the statement, which was just after the game of the European game that Dundalk played. I was asked about this, and to be fair to Vinnie, he was fuming now. Vinnie was raging over it. He had a right go, I think, at Rory Higgins, at Derry City, at the club, all that kind of stuff, just for being a lack of respect to when they announced it. But I was thinking afterwards, is there a rule on that kind of stuff? Or when should they release it? When should they not? Should they have held off till the following day? Does it really matter? Like, if he's leaving, he's leaving.
There wouldn't be a rule, but it'll be more of an ethical thing. So if you... He's still a Dundalk player.
Yeah,
okay, he signed what's called a pre-contract agreement, which means that come a certain date, he'll transfer to.
Have you ever signed a pre-contract agreement?
I did, yeah.
I did as well, and that's what I'm just kind of thinking around the time in terms of a time frame. Like, if you were thinking,
see, the thing is, Al, if Derry says if you know, I don't know what the word of the Derry statement was, but if the facts in the statement are true.
Oh,
and they can put it out. But what they should have done, both clubs should have covered their bases and sort of said, listen, you can't announce this until... Yeah. And that should be in writing as well. Like, you know, so look...
yeah, and we're not privy to that in terms of... You would think that agreement was in place. It mustn't have been because they've released it.
But what does that tell you about the stuff at Dundalk? Like, you know, that should have been handled. Like, you know, I mean, and it probably, again, just... It's a negative mark on Dundalk's... On top of a lot of other negative marks, but I really do think Vinny needs to get away from this stuff. Like, you know, I imagine he would be pissed off with it. Like, you know,
he's raging.
Yeah, I can well imagine because how long is Patrick going to be with? He's going to train with him for two or three weeks.
And this is my point. No, he's there at the end of the season still.
So it's the end of the season.
Yeah, he's not leaving to the end of the season. So there's 3 months, whatever left, 4 months, whatever. Still a Dundalk player, as you're saying.
So that's a big fuck up. Because yeah. what's effectively happened there is that Derry have just unsettled the Dundalk team.
And this is why Vinny was raging.
I mean...
But...
You got to cover that stuff off, like...
As you says, surely when they've agreed this, that they've said Dundalk would have said, if he's leaving and he's signing for a year or whatever, you're not to announce it till such and such at the end of the season. But obviously that hasn't happened.
Well, it's mind games, you know.
I think, to be fair to Derry as well... Even though I'm saying it's the end of the season, they're pushing out to get him in the window. I don't think they will, or whether they will, we don't know. I think Patrick, from what I've heard, is keen to go. But as you said, it just unsettles things.
There's brinkmanship going on here again. Like, you know, look, from Derry City's point of view, they made an agreement to get him at the end of the season. Yeah, correct. Mm. But you put it out there in a statement, and all of a sudden you're unsettling the player.
It's out there.
And you're obviously increasing your chances of then maybe getting them
now
in the off season. But Vinny's so pissed off, and he's going to say, "Well, fuck you! He can go and sit in the bench for 4 or 5 months. That doesn't suit anybody.
No,
you know. So
and would you want to have a player unhappy, pissed off?
Well, not a Patrick McIlhenny standard. No, certainly don't. So. I mean, Dundalk need whatever they can get at the moment. So this is just like, if I was Dundalk, I'd let him go now. They fucked up. They should have covered their bases in whoever was negotiating the contract. They should have made sure you don't talk about it until a certain date, whatever. Someone's fucked up somewhere. If I was Dundalk, I'd let the player go now. He's no good to them anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that in terms of, because if he's not happy, you don't want an unhappy player there. Doesn't want to be there.
No, and they certainly should have handled this situation better than they did.
I don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone in relation to it, but in terms of Vinny, see, obviously Rory worked under Vinny. I don't know. It was their relationship with them thinking there's an agreement in place that it won't be announced, and then it was. I don't know. We don't know the ins and outs. But as you says, if that was going to happen, especially in football, we're not surprised yet. You'd put an agreement down to say if he's going to you now. It doesn't be announced until 2 weeks before the end of the season.
Rory Higgins could be fucking pissed off at it. All it takes is some gobshite in the PR department to put it out there. It's happened all the time, especially, you know, it's we're not...
No, I think from Derry's point of view, they're delighted. They're celebrating the fact that Patrick's coming home to them, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't know the reason for... we don't know who released the statement or whether they had the full backing of Rory Higgins to do it, but...
I presume they had. It's out there. It's all over social media.
Yeah, this kind of stuff should be really boxed off in a contract, a pre-contract agreement. So they've. I let him go. I can't see how Patrick is useful to them now. Like, you know.
Okay, we'll watch that space, and we might get more clarity on it in the coming weeks. But just the next two games, Joe, I wanted to discuss, and it's funny because they're almost identical in terms of. Obviously, two Irish teams playing against two Icelandic teams. We spoke about it last week. We spoke to Stephen of FH, Stephen Lennon. We hoped he wouldn't do any damage, but the little shit scored. So I'll have to have words with him and Sligo on Thursday night. But the reason I say they're fairly identical is because we looked at the form of these two clubs that Bowes and Sligo were playing prior to the games. Similar type form. One team was down in eighth, one was in seventh. They weren't playing great. I watched a good chunk of the Sligo game. I had trouble with the stream. I've watched a bit of it back, but I watched the full Bohemians game. And sure, I'd be very disappointed if our teams don't go through against these. They're decent teams, don't get me wrong, but that's all they are. Bowes went over to Stjarnan and Bowes played like we've watched Bowes over the last number of weeks. They dominated the game for large spells without any real cutting edge, but they just looked like they were in control. They conceded a sloppy-ish goal, but they got themselves back into the game as well. And they were in control, as I say. Bohemians, if anything, looked like they were going to go on and get a winner. It was something similar. Obviously, Sligo were kind of in control as well. Probably had the better fair share of possession, better chances. Greg gets himself sent off, which was stupid on his part.
I didn't see what the sending off was.
Second yellow.
Buckle? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Dived, stupid. He's come out after. I don't know. Anyway, look. So he's going to be missing Thursday night, which is a huge blow because he's been playing great for them.
It is a huge blow.
Yeah, it is a big blow in a game experience. Because they're a goal down, different to Bowes. Obviously, Bowes are 1-1. The huge game in the Aviva, 6,000. There's a lot of talk about it. People looking forward to it. That'll be a great occasion. Sligo Rovers are chasing the game because they're a goal down. But I still fully expect that they have enough about them, both teams, to come through these games.
Let's take Sligo first. I mean, my worry was with Sligo going into this fixture that maybe they would just lack that European experience as a group, right? That's the kind of way I was putting it, because it does take a year or two, or even a couple, you know, two or three, to kind of really build up to getting used to playing in European football as a squad. So I was worried about them. However, when you look at the result they've gotten, nothing in the game. You certainly would have felt they can come home and beat Harf na Fjordr at home.
You know who they were missing?
Bulger,
you know,
is a big issue now.
And we spoke about John Mahan, excellent player. Johnny last week would have caused all sorts of problems just running in behind. They had no, they never hit really. That was the only thing was lacking on the night. They didn't have that tread of what Johnny gives them, just tormenting defenders, chasing down.
So where are we with the COVID issues?
Johnny is still out, Johnny Kenny, but I think John Mahan is back.
Well, that's a positive. I mean, it's an awful shame that you don't want to have Johnny Kenny and
Greg missing.
And Greg missing. Greg is huge missing because he is the one that has the experience. I mean, I was worried about Sligo because of the lack of experience. Greg is the one that he actually bolsters the whole squad when it comes on his own. You know, take him out of it and it's a different kettle of fish.
So would you be worried about them?
I would be worried about them. Yeah, I would be worried about them. I mean,
now they did it not for much to your team. And we spoke about their form domestically, and obviously Stephen was on with us. Stephen is their bright spark. He obviously scored again. We highlighted the amount of goals he scored since he's gone over there. He scored late in the game as well. Other than that, they looked... And maybe this is an indication of where we're at in terms of this Conference League team, similar standard, and there's not much between the teams at all.
Yeah,
if anything, I think Sligo has a bit more.
Well, look, I mean, if you want to put it in a different way, Sligo can win the game. There's no doubt about that, but to qualify, they have to win 2-0 or 3-1 or, you know,
Well, it'll be in one all is a long night.
If you want to avoid extra time penalties, you know, they'd have to kind of, are they capable of going and winning the game 2-0?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that's their goal.
There's going to be a crowd. I think there's 400 allowed in for the game as well, which makes a difference. I was in Inchicore last Friday night show. I think there was only... Was it 400 or 500? But there was actually a genuine atmosphere, which was great, just to see people back on the ground. Like, the
it is, yeah. It's an awful shame now that it isn't happening a little bit more rapidly, because, you know, coming off the back of the Euros, I think we were absolutely spoiled. during the Euros, when you look, especially when you look at the crowds. Mm. But
so on the other hand, so
on Bowes,
are you worried about Sligo? Just before we finish up, are you worried?
I would be worried about Sligo because they're missing Greg Bulger. If they've got Greg Bulger coming into that game, I'd be very hopeful because he's missing. Be a bit worried about them now, yeah.
Okay.
But certainly capable of winning the game. You know, it's just a matter of whether they can bag two and keep a clean sheet.
Keep a clean sheet, yeah. Well, John Mann is back, which is good, as I say. I'm heading down to Sligo for it myself. I'm looking forward to it. It's not a staycation, it's work. Although I might go for a few drinks afterwards. I'm on my holidays, remember?
How long are you on holidays for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks holidays?
Well, work, little bits of work in between, but mainly, yeah. Staycations.
And how many pictures of
that'd be about 100
beaches.
Beaches
of the Atlantic.
I'll climb seven mountains. There'll be 46 beaches,
seven harbours.
I love a harbour, don't I?
I might write a song actually called Seven Harbours and 200 Beaches
for me. There's a ring to that. Seven harbours and 200 beaches. Okay, get back to the football. The Bowes, I watched the match.
Yeah, I like to look at I'm delighted for Bowes. I have to say I was confident with them going into it. Played really well last year in Europe. It's kind of, you know, young squad, nothing really, young squad but professional, nothing really phases them, like, you know, that kind of way.
European football suits them as well, with them being so technically. Dawson Devoy, I know we've spoken about him so much. And funny, I used to love the type that I was, Stu, as you know, the European games I used to love because they let you play.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Dawson Devoy last week, and now maybe this week they've realised we need to get closer to this fella, but he ran the show last week. The only fault last week with him, and it's a bugbear of mine, at every level, see these Astro pitches, Astro, like the Dundalk one. Want to see the pitch they were playing on last week, Stjarnan? It was a disgraceful pitch. Because they're a nightmare at the best of times, them Astro pitches, especially if it's one that's worn away and old and shitty. That it kills the team, especially a team like Bowes, who want to get it down and play and move the ball quickly and all, and it's bouncing horribly and it's slowing up and all. That was the only downside, I think, on the Aviva.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They run amok.
They have to, because I mean, they're going to be playing on a billiard table. Mm. You know, now I've only but positives for Bowes. The one exception would be the one. Would you call it an exception? Playing in the Aviva, you know, they haven't played there at all. I mean, it's not as if they've played a couple of FA Cup finals there, or they're familiar with the place, like, you know. So it can be a little bit daunting when you go play there in Lansdowne Road when you haven't played there before. You get a little bit excited, a little bit carried away with yourself, like, you know. But I mean, you said it. They're technically a better side. That possession football suits them. Mm. They're going to be playing on the billiard table. And they're going to have fans there, which they would, and the lads,
6,000
the boys,
fans.
The boys and girls will make their voices heard, and I think that it'll certainly give comfort to the Bowes team. I fully expect them to progress, and I hope they do.
I do, and there's a huge incentive you're looking at if they come through that. They're playing Dudelange. You'd fancy them against them as well. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's real major opportunities now with this Conference League. Yeah, format.
I mean, there's Dudelange. I mean, what kind of fucking name is that? You have to be beaten
there. Purely for the name.
Bowes are going to win the European Cup.
On their name alone. Okay, so that's the European stuff. Those games are happening. The last two that we discussed, Sligo Rovers and Bohemians, are on Thursday night. The other two teams are on tonight. We'll know the result, obviously, before this goes out tomorrow, but we wish them luck. Dundalk are going to come through. Shamrock Rovers have it all to do, so we'll see. The games, there was only three league games last week, Stu. Finn Harps, Waterford. Huge win for Waterford. Huge win. Finn Harps in trouble.
Finn Harps, really.
Waterford breathing down their neck now.
Really slipping. He's got a tune at him, hasn't he, Burchill?
Yeah, Burchill, yeah.
I don't like the way he wears that hat, no. I think he might lose the hat. Yeah. I like those hats.
He doesn't wear it as well as you.
You wear them kind of in a sort of social
not on the side of the pitch.
You don't wear on the side of the pitch. Like, okay. You know, Giovanni made that mistake.
Have a word with him.
When
so
he was wearing him in press conferences.
Huge win for them, Waterford. And as you say, Bertram has done really well since he's come in. I think it's 7 points out of 15. And that game made a 10 out of 18 since he's come in. If you think before that, I think they had only 6 out of 42 points or something, Stu. So that's unbelievable return, isn't it, really, since he's come in. The other game, I was in Chicor, St. Pat's. I say a crowd. It was just great to be there with a feckin' crowd. Forrester, our friend, Unbelievable goalie guy. He
saw his goal, great finish. Oh, yeah, great finish.
And he was excellent on the night. He was the best player on the pitch, just in terms of quality and everything he did. Pats were good. There was actually what stood out more so for me the other night, I was on kind of scout watch, a couple of young fellas, Stu. Dara Burns, first time I saw him in the flesh properly. Little tricky winger, left foot, very, very good. You'd like him now. Yeah. Fearless young fella. Played very, very well. Good attitude, up and down. Caused all sorts of problems. Then Pats got Jamie Lennon got himself sent off. Two yellows. Harsh enough, the second one. But they were holding on then for a half an hour. The whole dynamic of the game changed. But they were really, really resolute in how they defended. Sam Bowen, Paddy Barrett, very good defensively. But Derry brought on a little young fella. A little Wezzo. Now, not quite as good, and he'll do well to be as good as Wezzo. But little lefty, Stu, Evan McLaughlin, lovely little player.
Keep an eye on him.
He was excellent. We'll hear more about him, but he was lovely little technically gifted footballer when he came on. But Derry never really did enough. But from what I've seen with Derry so far, and Higgins has made, I think that was only the second defeat in 8 or 9 games, the loss to Dundalk as well. There's been 4 draws and 3 wins, I think. But he has made a difference to them, and potentially going forward the way he wants them playing. They just lacked a little bit of a cutting edge. They were just a bit safe in the first half. For me, and I know Rory Higgins really well, I'm going to have words with him about this because he's a great lad, Rory. He played Cole in the midfield area as one of the three. For me, Cole, all I know of him is a centre half or a right full, and young Jack Malone as well. They were just a little bit safe. Yeah. Lafferty as well as a left full that played him wide left and as a wing back. You're not getting anything out of him in that position, I find. I just think if he had been a bit more attack minded, they probably could have got something out of the game. But that might be something for them going forward as well, because Junior and Akintunde were isolated for large spells of the game. But it's probably something for them to work on. If the likes of McElhenney coming back, there's big talk Duffy as well, I think, Stu. So Derry are making strides in terms of the business they're trying to do to get top quality in.
Yeah, well, you have to look at the base that he's come from. You know, at Derry, they were very, very open. I mean, they got off to an awful start of the season. What was it, 5 or 6 they lost, maybe, until he got a point against Drogheda.
Struggling, yeah.
You know, they were really struggling, like, and very open, I thought, as well. You know, probably a little bit more focused on going forward, but way, way too easy to get through them and to break them down. So I'd imagine Rory's gone in there, he's had a look at that situation and basically done what you know, I suppose good coaches do, and they just make them difficult to beat. Now, yeah, it might have been the case that they were away to Pats that he decided to go with the formation that he went with.
Yeah, and I get that as well. That's a good point.
They would probably change for any games they play at home. Pats' point of view, it's going to be a difficult few weeks for them because of the, you know, this never happened to me too often, I have to say. I was very lucky that at this time of the year, normally you'd be playing in European football, but when you're not involved in European football, it all feels very flat and very, that can be difficult, like, you know, because you're looking at, you know, the other teams playing.
Envious of the other teams.
Yeah, you'd be a bit envious, absolutely, you'd be a bit envious, you know, and playing, the other teams will benefit from playing against better quality. Mm. It'll raise their game. You know, don't be surprised now when Sligo, Shamrock Rovers, Bowes, Derry all play, when they all play back in the league again, they've got a little bit about them, pep in their step, you know, a little bit more quality about them. So Pats are missing out on that, and they're just going to have to manage these couple of weeks and make sure that they get
well. That was huge for them
results,
because that was they obviously are trying to close the gap and make up ground on the teams that are playing in Europe. So to bounce back after losing to Bowes the week before and having two men sent off and even going a man down again the other night, that's huge for them to get the 3 points. As I say, against a decent enough Derry side.
Yeah, and they have to make sure, Al, they have to make sure now. I mean, we're in July now. August will be gone in no time when all this is ended up, and that's when you're into the business end of the season. Pats have to make sure they're there. You know, and if they're there, then we're set for a heck of a run. And if you look at the 3 teams that are involved at the moment, I think it's going to be great. Like, hopefully we do have that. We haven't had, I can't remember the last time we had a three horse race. I can't
remember.
It's been a long, long time.
Well, we've done Dundalk and Cork for so long, and then you Shamrock Rovers. Okay, Stu, yeah, so that's the results. The fixtures, as I say, for this week, Pats again in action against Drogheda, who themselves were held to 1-1 draw against Longford. They'd be disappointed with that. But the lads, Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty, just signed new deals, extended their contracts with Drogheda, which again is all part of the good news story with stuff that's going on up there. Derry are playing Shamrock Rovers. Saturday, Dundalk are in action, back in league action against Finn Harps. And on Sunday, there's two games. Bowes are playing Longford and Waterford are playing Sligo. So we look forward to them. Quickly, the results in the first division, Stu. UCD beat Wexford with a late goal, 2-1. Treaty with the late goal themselves, held Shells to 1-1 draw.
Hell of a strike.
Yeah, great goal. I saw it. Yeah, Earshaw, brilliant. Galway 2-0. Galway are in good form, as we pointed out last week. Another good win, beating Cove 2-0. Cork 2-2. They were two up against Bray and they got pegged back. And Cabin Teely lost 1-0 to Athlone. That was episode 17, Stu. That was my staycation. I'm going to hope to sleep for 2 days.
Ain't that bad, are you?
I haven't been out 2 days on the beer and
hair of the dogs,
since
maybe
we were playing.
Have a wee beer. Have couldn't a wee tell beer
you
when you get home.
No, bed, sleep, and get ready to go to Sligo on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to the match. And there's going to be 400 fans, and I'll see my mother.
You'll get a clip around the ear.
Yeah, I'll get a clip. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Paul as always, and also thanks to Benetti Menswear, because without them we wouldn't be here. We wish all the teams that are in action in Europe all the best of luck this week, and we'll review them games next week again, and also we'll discuss the league stuff. So thanks a million for listening. All the best. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.